Blog Talk Radio.
The LaRusha Cain Show.
Hello, beautifuls, and thank you for tuning in to the LaRusha Cain Show. I am excited to be with you. Yes, I am. I am your host today. I just can't wait to be with you, to share with you all the great things that we have in store. I'm trying to calm down because I'm just uber excited. I am so excited. Well, today we're kicking off a new segment. Oh, it's a new marriage and relationship segment called Calling All Lovers. I know the title sounds very interesting. Tamar Braxton, she had an album called Calling All Lovers. And today we're going to be talking about it. We're going to talk about marriage, relationship, and all the great things, and even some not so great things that some would say, but they're all great learning experiences. We're going to be sharing with them today. So, sister friends, this is what I would like for you to do. I want you to text your girlfriends, go on your Facebook page, hit up your family and your friends, your Instagram buddies, your Twitter, go on Twitter and hit up your tweets and let them know about the show today. They don't want to miss it. Now, we are aware that February 14th is Valentine's Day. And so many of us, you know, we celebrate Valentine's and we go out and, you know, we spend time with our partner and, you know, we, share love and we talk about all the things that we have gone through and have experienced. But did you know that also February is Creative Romance Month? Yeah. Creative Romance Month. Now, we still have a few more days in this month, so I want you to think about it. What can you do to add a little more creativity, more spice to your marriage, to your relationship? You know, I grew up in a time, I'm a 70s baby, I know. I know, you know, we had, you know, all the music, and my mom loved music, so I woke up all the time to music, and my uncle, you know, at his house, he had the DJ equipment and the strobe lights and everything, so I grew up just listening to music, and, you know, I lived with my grandmother, and when I wasn't with my mom, my grandmother is a missionary in the church, so I grew up listening to gospel music all the time. Then I go to my mom's and listen to secular music. So I heard music all the time. Music was a major part of my life. And I'm telling you, sometimes you have to set the mood. You have to set the ambiance. You have to set the atmosphere we're trying to do. So I thought I would set the mood, set the ambiance for what we're doing today. Since we're talking about marriage and relationship, but, you know, calling all lovers. So I want you to think about, what would you say? What would you do? What are you adding to change the atmosphere, the trajectory of your relationship? Well, this is mine. I thought I would share it with you. And then I'm going to share with you who the guests are. I know you're excited. I have to give you an opportunity to hit up your friends. We have four phenomenal panel guests. They're experts in what they do. And they're going to come on today and they're going to share with us some great things. So are you ready to talk to them? I know that I am. I'm looking forward to it. But before we do, I'm going to share my song with you just a little bit. And if you grew up in the time in which I did, or even before, you know this song. It's one of them songs that you hear on the radio or you play in your house. You're like, oh, yeah. Are you at your reunion? Or family reunion or school reunion, whichever one. Depends on the age. I'm a DJ. And you're like, oh, yeah. So we're going to set the atmosphere, set the mood. And then we're going to come back and I'm going to talk to you about our four phenomenal expert panelists. All right, here we go. All right, that was just a taste. I know you know the name of that song. And if you don't, well, go look it up, but I'm telling you, it just helped me this year for what we are doing on today. Well, I said we have four phenomenal panelists, and they are experts in what they do. They are entrepreneurs and wise. And I'm going to bring them on for them to share with you who they are, introduce themselves, the name of their husband, because we want to acknowledge the husbands, just how long they've been married, and this is creative romance month. Where were they at to their? Where were they at to their marriage, their relationship? Well, at this time, we're going to bring in Arnessa Bennett, and she's going to introduce her business and give us some information. Hello, Arnessa.
Hello, and thank you for bringing me on your show today.
Oh, you know, thank you for having me, coming on. I'm so sorry. I'm excited to be with you. I'm tongue-tied. I'm excited. I've had you on before. We've talked. We've shared. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the heiress have to say. But before we do that, can you give us the name of your business, your husband's name, and how long you've been married?
Okay. I'm a master life coach and motivational speaker, and I also have a nonprofit organization that deals with personal and professional development. My husband is Elder Larry Bennett. He is a minister, and we got married at a very special time. He had been a widow. He had been married for about 39 years, and I had become divorced. And we've been married now, it'll be 10 years in January. And so you can find love again. You know, a lot of people think that when you get to become a, what they call a senior citizen, I don't feel like a senior citizen. When we got married, I was getting ready to turn 50, and he was getting ready to turn 60. But we are still on our honeymoon, so you can't find love again. I have a lot of ladies who say, you know, I'm older. I don't think I'll ever get married. All the men my age want younger women. That's not true.
You know that song? I think it was by Shalimar. It said, "Second time around." You know?
Yes.
Look at it's beautiful. It's beautiful. So being that this is creative romance month, what would you add to your relationship?
Well, my husband and I, we have a lot of laughter. We both love music, and we love to talk. I mean, we're both, you know, him and his field, he talks a lot. My field, I talk a lot. But one of the things that really intrigued me when we first started dating is that we had such great conversations. And before we got married, we did not have premarital sex. So we did a lot of talking.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the present time we live in, you know, most people think, what? You didn't have sex before marriage? I'm like, no. But I knew, me being a God-fearing woman, him being a God-fearing man, and the chemistry that we had, I knew it would be no problem.
Well, a listening audience, you hear her talking. So you know it's going to get wonderful and juicy and good and very transparent. So I'm going to introduce the other ladies. Then we're going to bring you all back together so we can go into our first question. I just want everyone to introduce. We're going to bring in Letitia Webb. Hello, Letitia.
Greetings. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on the show.
And you're welcome, and greetings to you too as well. Well, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Arnessa. The name of your business, your husband's name, and how long you've been married.
Okay. So my husband and I are co-founders of Opportunity, Inc., which is a nonprofit organization located in the city of Philadelphia, where we help disenfranchised youth to aspire for entrepreneurial endeavors. We also assist people who have the novice or the leader who has a new idea or venture and they want to get it up off the ground running. So we come in and we provide the infrastructure and those early stages of groundwork to get the business or the idea started. My husband is Dr. William Webb IV. Him and I have been married for 5.5 years, and very similar to our sister, Arnessa, I was a widow when I met my husband. My first husband died, and my husband was divorced. And so, like, very similar, you know, we had that chemistry. We knew exactly that, you know, we had reached a point and a time in our lives that the games were over, and we knew that we were connected and that it was God ordained, and our marriage was perfect, purpose driven. Also, I am an author. I have a book titled The Authentic Love Experience, where my husband and I not only co-authored the book, but we do annual events for singles and couples. And that event is promote heterosexual relationships and how we can align with our partners on all six dimensions, which is spiritual, psychological, emotional, sexual, physical, and social. So how can you have that authentic love experience with your partner, and how can you align with your partner to make sure that you guys are actually walking as one?
Well, listening audience, if you didn't get excited off of that, if you didn't take notes, you didn't miss something. I'm telling you, this is just a tidbit. We haven't even brought them on to have our first question pertaining to the show. Oh, I'm excited. Well, I'm going to bring in our next person. Thank you so much, Leticia, for sharing that. We're going to bring in Shaquan Holmes at this time. Hello, Shaquan.
Hello, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. I'm just so excited to be a part of your show today, and thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm just excited to have you. Well, you know, I believe you know the questions, so they're the same ones I asked Arnessa, and Letitia, and you know the name of your business, your husband's name, and please forgive me, name your business, your husband's name, and how long you've been married. Please share that with us.
Yes, yes. So the name of my business is called Beyond the Job Incorporated. And the mission of Beyond the Job is mainly to support women, including women and female veterans, to regain confidence and self-sufficiency by providing the highest quality of services in personal and professional development. And so essentially, I assist them to realize how to get to the next level in their career and or business. yeah, so and I will get into a little bit more about that. But my husband's name is Tyrone Hulk, and he has really been an instrumental part of helping me to grow and progress in my business. Just like the panelists before me, I myself have been divorced in the year 2010, and from there, that's when I met my husband about 2 years later, and he too was also in divorce. And by that time, we both shared a lot of common interests, and you know, you get to a point in your life where you know exactly what you want and what you don't want.
And so
I know we're going to get into a lot of the talk later on down the line, but one of the things that I can say, we've been together for about 6 years, married for three, and we both have grown since we first met. We are definitely not the same people when we initially met. And I believe that God definitely did put us together in that, you know, we both have grown so much into who we are today. I know that I probably wouldn't have gone so far in my business life if it hadn't been for the support of my husband. So it's just been really wonderful. We've learned and we've learned to love each other in our love language, which I know we'll get into that a little later. But it's just really been wonderful. We've learned how to communicate with each other through trials and tribulations, because you know that rain is going to come. But it's just been a wonderful learning experience, and I just can't wait to get more into the meat and potatoes of this.
Yes, we shall. Well, I have one more panelist that I have to bring in, and then we'll go right into the show. At this time, we're going to bring in Deidre Trueheart. Hello, Deidre.
Hi. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you? Thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, thank you for accepting. I just look forward to it. Well, you know the question, so I'm going to turn it over to you and allow you to answer them.
Okay, so I actually play a number of various roles. And so the first one, my company is Trueheart Speaks Enterprises, and we're a lifestyle empowerment company. We work primarily with women, helping them to get out of their own way, get to the business of living so that they can live purposefully, grow spiritually, and lead authentically. And one of the things that I find specifically with the women that I work with and who God has assigned me to in this season is busy women who don't know how to slow down. We do ministry well, we do community well, we do family well. We do a lot of things well, but we don't do life well. We don't really take the time to pour in, to allow ourselves to be poured into the way we pour into others. And so that's and the way that I kind of minister to women and share with women, I consider my business, and I didn't always, but now I really consider my business a part of what I do as ministry. But every Monday morning, I'm live on Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope at 7:15 in the morning for what I call the morning wife scope. So it's kind of like a dose of motivation every Monday. And then I'm a speaker and author, and I'm an online life strategist. So I provide a lot of coaching via online. But then I'm also in ministry with my husband, and so we're at Renovation Church here in Buffalo, New York, and so I'm the family ministry director, and he's the director of creative arts. And so as a family ministry director, we're partnering with parents, families, students, and volunteers, really just to help really usher our children and our students to learn and to be more connected to Christ and to know who they are in Christ. And then the other role that I play is I have a nonprofit for girls called the Young Miss Buffalo Pageant Scholarship and Enrichment Program here in Buffalo for girls 13 to 17. And our mission is to empower girls to come out of their comfort zone through a process of healthy nurturing from the inside out. And so it's a 16-week character and leadership development program, an enrichment program where we spend about 8 weeks of just doing personal development workshops. We do once a month girls night out events, and then we also do community service and a couple of other things as we transition into the workshops. And then it culminates into our annual scholarship pageant. And so I have a background in pageantry and dance and competition, and so I wanted to always create something that would expose girls to some of the experiences that I had and also introduce them to healthy competition for the purpose of presenting your best self. And so I've been married to my husband for 11 and a half years. His name is Delshawn Trueheart, and we'll be married. It'll be 12 years in August, and we've been together for 15 years. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk a lot more about our relationship and different things like that. But that's kind of like the crux of, like, who I am, who we are. We have a six-year-old son named Dallas. And so, yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, I thank you for sharing all of that with us. And I know we're going to get into the meat, you know, the meat and potatoes of everything. And I'm just looking forward to hearing more, you know, kicking back, taking notes and getting to know what's going on and how we're going to help the families, how we're going to help the marriages, how we're going to move forward. Well, I am so excited, and I'm looking forward to that time together. So, at the time, before I bring all the ladies on, I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge my own husband. That would be a little interesting, wouldn't it? Like, stop that, LaRusha. Well, again, you know, my name is LaRusha King. My husband is Randall King. He is a pastor of House of Refuge Worship Center. We co-pastor the church together. So we are a family of faith. We have been married for beautifully 13 years. It has been a journey. We have our ups and our downs and our ins and our outs, but God has kept us. When I met my husband, I was going through a divorce. I was separated from my ex-husband for 5 years before I got a divorce. He was going through a divorce, so yeah. We were in the same church, and we did not like each other. It was not that type of situation. We were just really good friends, and I had three sons. He has no children. So when we got married, not only did he, you know, marry me, but I had an 18-year-old son at the time. And two lovely teenagers, yes. And so today we are the proud parents of three wonderful boys and seven beautiful grandchildren. We have a 31-year-old, 26-year-old, and a 24-year-old. So God has been really, really good to us. My husband and I, we do various things. So just for the sake of time, you want to know more about me, just go on Facebook or on my website. You'll know more. But I just wanted to, I would not go forward without acknowledging my husband and the rest of the husbands for this opportunity for us to come on and to share. Well, at this time, we're just going to go bring everyone in live, and we're going to talk about everything that we need to talk about on today. I know you're excited, listening audience, because I know that I am. I'm looking forward to hearing more. Well, we're going to go, ladies, right into the first question, you know, because we are talking about marriage and relationship, and I know it's called Calling on Lovers, and we are women, we are entrepreneurs, we are wives. So my first question, and when you answer the question,
you know, when you first come on, introduce yourself so we'll know who you are. And then, you know, at the end, you could just say, so the next person can know, if you don't mind, pass the mic or something phenomenal so the next person know that it's their turn. Well, first question, why is communication important in the marriage? Why is communication so important?
Well, this is Arnessa. I'll kind of just start on in. If you don't have a good understanding with your mate, you can have all kind of chaos and confusion. And one of the things that Larry and I did, my husband, when we first decided to get married, because I'm a list maker, so I had a list of things that, you know, because I knew I was getting ready to turn 50, and I look at it like, this is my second half of my 100 I'm working on.
Yes.
So from this time to Jesus brings me home, it's certain things that I want to do in my life. And so when we talked about things, how we wanted our future to look like. It was like we had a vision, and we communicated that vision to each other. But the wonderful thing about it is the list that I had was really similar to the list that he had. So being on the same page and enjoying the same kind of things, because if you have a partner who's an introvert and you're out in an extrovert, sometimes that could be kind of a hardship on one another. But both of us are very outgoing people. We love people. We love to socialize. We love a wonderful family home life. So we communicated that up front. And I think that's one of the problems that some younger people have. They get to the physical before they get to the communication part of who you are and how you want your life to be. Passing the mic.
Yes, this is Dr. Webb. Thank you so much for that point. And it's interesting that you say that, because as I was thinking about the question, it really, you know, I want to pose a question to the question. I want to counter. You know, when we talk about communicating and writing the list and talking about our needs, what I have learned in my marriage is to really reflect on, is it a need versus a want? You know, what's my will versus God's will? And, you know, and am I so specific with how the hows, the whens, and the whys? And my husband and I, we did the same exact thing. You know, we talked, we have a marriage mantra, which is on purpose, with purpose, for his purpose. And we talked about, you know, our different goals and our visions, our aspirations, our entrepreneur endeavors. We did all of those things until life happened. And then we realized that, okay, we had these conversations, as they say, we had these grown folk conversations, you know, we laid it down on the table, but then life happens. And then you realize that your interpretation of what was communicated may have been completely different from your spouse's, or, you know, the word choice, or, you know, the culture or the how to, you know, is very, very different. So then you have to, you know, ask yourself, okay, did I not communicate? Did we not have these conversations? What got lost in the translation? And so I just feel like, you know, whether you want to be married or you're currently married and you feel like you having struggled in your communication, there's things that you really have to sit back and really ask yourself and reflect on. And one of the things that my husband, Dr. Webb, always says, there's a difference between being able and unwilling, or unwilling and able. And what that means is, if I communicate my needs, my wants, my visions, is my spouse able to help me with that, but they are unwilling to? Or are they willing to help provide my needs, assist me, et cetera, but they are unable to. And so although we can talk all day long, we have to understand that there's gender differences, there's cultural differences, the interpretation. What I mean by, let's just take a word, my husband and I, you know, did not agree upon, and we didn't realize it until it manifested. Unity, or not unity, it was one word that's in my thought process that's not coming out, that just really, really just, you know, was a point of contention for us. Entrepreneurship. Partnership in business. That's what it is. When I said, okay, we're going to be partners in business, and we talked about it and we wrote it down, but what he meant about partners in business was completely different from mine. And so I know communication is important, but there's always a caveat to that, because we can't just communicate. We have to make sure that we are speaking the same language with the same definitions. And I'll pass the mic.
That was good. This is Deetra. And I agree. And I think, you all have already said some really juicy things. So I think when we talk about communication, I think the bigger thing is it's got to be a dialogue and not a monologue. And so a lot of times we can say, well, I said this or I said that, but what did the other person say? And then the also thing is there's a process of sending and a process of receiving. And so there's in the process of sending and receiving, as a previous speaker said, there is that process of perception and experience. So the way you hear something is really based on what your experience is as it relates to that word. And so sometimes what is your definition of communication? What does communication look like? And so communication is important when it's healthy communication, but you've got to be able to define what healthy communication is, and you've got to be able to define what will transpire when you all decide that you're going to communicate. Is it just me talking and you listening and you doing everything that I tell you to do? Or is it a process of me, talking to you, we talking to ourselves, we talking to each other and having that conversation and expressing our needs and our wants and our ability or inability, because I think we also have to be open to the mindset that sometimes our mate may not be able to be able to do what we want them to do, not because they don't want to do it, but because they just don't have the ability or the expertise understanding to give us what we need. And so I think that communication, that word in and of itself, is a powerful word. I think it's a fully loaded word. And a lot of people will say, I communicated what I wanted. And I think, there's so many different questions that you can ask to that, after they answer that question. But I think the biggest thing is it can't be a monologue. It's got to be a dialogue. And getting back to the initial answer to the question of why it's important, because if you're not communicating, then you're not expressing what you want. And sometimes it's not even what you want. But for me, communication is telling my husband that I love him, telling my husband that I appreciate him, telling my husband, hey, babe, can you pick up some eggs because I need to finish making breakfast this morning. And so understanding that communication is not, and I don't even know if this is a word, but unifaceted, but it is multifaceted. And so how we communicate, in the way that we communicate, and who we communicate to, I think is important across the board, because in a relationship, when you are in partnership, whether it's business or just in life and marriage and family, when you are in partnership with somebody, that communication, if there is a communication breakdown, and really even understanding how people deal with, because communication also is how you communicate through contention, how you communicate when you're angry, how you communicate when you don't get what you want. That's a whole another conversation. And so why it's important, because you need to really be able to understand a person like me, where my husband understood in the beginning that I was the kind of person where I would shut down immediately. And so if he didn't understand how to break down those barriers and how to kind of really meet me where I was, there was no communication. There was no conversation. So That, I mean, that's why I say that's, I'm going to leave it right there. But there's so much that we can talk about when we talk about, you know, why communication is important in relationships, why it's important in marriage. I think, you know, it's the same reason why communication is important when we have a relationship with God, because that's how we build relationships.
Mm.
So I'm going to pass the mic.
Before she picks up the mic and just destroys it. You know, I was thinking about, excuse me, what you just said. My husband is an anger management therapist. So can you imagine what type of environment I'm living in? So that's one of the things about, you know, knowing how to communicate, because she touched on it. When you're angry, when you're frustrated, things of that nature, is a different type of communication. So I just wanted to say thank you for bringing that out. But, Saquon, they passed the mic to you. I'm just listening. I'm moderating. So this is you have the mic.
Yes. Everyone had really great points to touch on. One of the things that I wanted to touch on is that, to me, communication was important, especially early on. In your courting stage and then throughout, because that kind of sets the stage of how your marriage turns out in the courting stage. I think that's the time where communication is definitely key. And the things that you miss during the courting stage, it only amplifies when it gets married if you don't learn your mate. That's a part of communicating, is getting to learn your mate, learning what makes them happy, what makes them angry, learning their, what I say, triggers, the triggers that may set something off in them that may have happened to them in their childhood, in their previous marriage, or even in a business relationship or on the job. There are certain things that all of us have experienced in our lives that, you know, it may be, well, some people call it a pet peeve, but, you know, trigger. So it's important that we learn who is in front of us. And all of us go through highs and lows emotionally, and so it's important to also recognize where your mate may be and at a particular time of the day or a particular time of the month, or be aware of what's happening, you know, in their work life or in their extended family's life. All of that is a part of communication, not just us sitting together, being in the house together. Communication not only together, but also with the people around us, because what happens to a family member also happens to us.
Yeah.
So it is important to not only talking, because that's just one method of communication. Speaking is just one method. And so even in speaking, we must also not just listen with, you know, the two ears on the sides of our head. Some of us listen with the intent to say, I'm going to win this situation. I'm going to win in this situation. And that's not really communicating. That's being very strategic and planning out, well, how you're going to become the victor. But in all reality, if it's always in your mind to say that, you know, I must come out on top or things must be done my way, then that's definitely not a positive form of communication, and things will quickly go south for you, which I've learned. So this is definitely a complex and a complex and multi-layered subject. You can go in so many different areas with this, but I think the whole point of this is that both parties must come to terms, learn each other, and learn what's the best way to communicate with our mates.
Yes. Well, I'm going to jump into question number two. And, you know, I'm going to pick someone, but if you want to add to it, you know, you're more than able to. We welcome you to do so. We understand by default when you talk about intimacy, people always think we're talking about sex.
and that's not true. But, you know, that's where their mind goes. But there are so many different levels of intimacy. We understand there's emotional, intellectual, spiritual, social, financial, and even, you know, financial and physical. I'm going to ask, Deidre, which one is the most important to you as far as intimacy is concerned? Because that's another form of communication.
It is. And, you know, I would say that, it, to be honest, it depends on the day, and it depends on where we are. And so I think the most important thing for me is being able to have spiritual, physical, and emotional intimacy. I think for us, because, you know, we have to be connected to the Father, that spiritual intimacy, I think for me, I know firsthand that there were days that that prayer and being connected to God was the one way that I was able to communicate and really to be able to make connection with my husband, that there were some things going on that I could, that literally I was able to break some things through prayer. And that only comes when y'all are spiritually connected. Like it just, and I won't say it comes in other area. It doesn't come when one is connected, because I believe prayer can break some yokes and can destroy some things and can do some things. But I truly believe that because he is a hearer of the Father, that there were some things that I spoke to God that God spoke to him. And so I really believe that spiritual intimacy is important. I believe that, you know, and because I'm a touchy person, physical intimacy is important. And so to be able to make that connection, to be able to touch, to be able to hold hands, to be able to, you know, to be able to hug and that sort of thing. But then the emotional piece, I think to be able to meet me where I am, to be able to connect where I am, to be able to connect soul to soul and heart to heart and mind to mind, I think it's super important. And so, and that's why I say it depends on the day, because I think they're all, needed. And so it's kind of like what I teach as it relates to priorities, and that your priorities never change, but the way in which they shift does. And so, for example, if I'm in school and I'm going, like I have two master's degrees. So if I, during the time that I was in school, education was on the higher level of the hierarchy of my priorities. Although, let's just say, you know, washing dishes and doing laundry was not necessarily at the top of the list when I was working on a 30-page paper. It didn't mean that it wasn't important. It just mean that it wasn't priority at that. It wasn't a higher priority at that time. And so when we look at the idea of intimacy and the varied levels of intimacy, I think that there are some that you want to keep at, like the spiritual intimacy, physical intimacy, even, you know, we're talking about sexual intimacy, that sort of thing. But I think depending on where you are, if you're dealing with finances and you're talking about finance, you want to totally be on the same page. I think unity across the board helps you align your intimacy. And I think that that helps you as it relates to the different levels of intimacy. But for me, that spiritual, that physical, and that emotional are key, because I feel like if we can connect on those areas, when we talk about finances, when we talk about the other area, relational areas, when we talk about those, I think they come into alignment. So I can pass the mic from there if somebody else wants to share.
Yes, I agree with you. I believe that emotional intimacy is very, very important. This is Dr. Webb. And because when we look at the word intimacy, we can break it down to into me see. And when I am exposing and I'm being open with my husband, you know, I am asking him to see me, not see the representative, not see the woman, the entrepreneur, the person who, you know, I clothe when I, you know, walk out the door. I'm talking about the person whom God created, that authentic self. And when I, you know, meditate, and when I think about about, you know, the word of God and what God says in Genesis chapter 3, you know, the two shall become one flesh, you know, and they shall be naked and not ashamed. And excuse me for my paraphrase, you know, that nakedness and not ashamed, you know, resonates with me. It resonates with my soul and my spirit, because that's what it is. So when we, you know, when I am with my husband, I'm exposing every aspect of who I am, my belief systems, my paradigms, my different levels of consciousness. My husband is able to discern my unconscious and my subconscious, because, you know, we all have those blind spots. We all have those parts of us that we are unaware. When you look at Jahari's window, you know, you have those parts of you that are hidden that other people see. So my husband is my closest neighbor to me, and so he sees all of these things about me that I don't see. You know, he can identify what triggers me, my automatic reactions, you know, my fears, my daddy issues, my mommy issues. You know, all of my stuff is just laid bare out in the open before him, and it's how he handles me and what, you know, and what he sees, hears, perceives and discerns. How he handles all of that is what creates that safe space and place for me to be me, you know, and sort of like it's likened unto a turtle, you know, like you stick your head out, you know, and you see, you know, you observe the lay of the land and the environment, and once you discern that it's unsafe, you know, you stick your head, you know, back into your shell. But if I stick my head out like a turtle and I expose and I feel safe, you know, that I'm going to keep, you know, sticking my head out where I don't have to go back into that shell. So for me, that emotional into me see is very, very important, because if I have that create that safe space and place, then everything else will align, you know, sexually, you know, physically, financially. It's a flow for me. And I'll pass the mic.
This is Shaquan, and both of you, I totally agree with everything that you've said. And intimacy definitely needs to be fulfilled on different levels, on different planes. And for me, when I think about the word
intimacy, Shaquan, I'm sorry, ma'am, your phone is breaking up.
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Yeah, for me, the word trust comes to mind when I think about intimacy. And for both myself and my husband, for us to be intimate with one another, I'm not sure for anyone else, I have to first trust you with me and all that, and with my present self and with my past self.
Yes.
And also with my husband. My husband, he is a 10-year Marine veteran. And with him, I know he's experienced a lot of trauma being a veteran, serving the armed forces. And so me learning him, and I keep saying learning, you know, his mannerism, learning his triggers, learning what his love languages are. That was important in order for us to be able to both communicate and also to experience different levels of intimacy. I had to learn that for him, the act of physical touch was very, very important for him, because being someone that was always in charge, he wasn't allowed to really express, you know, being vulnerable or showing his emotions. And so I had to show him that he could trust me with those feelings, with being open, with being vulnerable, you know. And so I learned through for him, touch was important because that's not something that he was really allowed. And I'm not talking in a sexual sense. I mean, something as simple as me putting his head on my lap and running my fingers through his hair. Something as simple as that. Or if we're on the train together, you know, we would, you know, he would take my hand and I would stroke the inside palm of his hand. And what he expressed to me is that by me doing that, you know, whatever anxieties that he may have had at the time, that it just sort of melted away. It was kind of a hug without me actually hugging him, a reassurance. And I've read somewhere that a lot of patients that are experiencing trauma, or they're not even conscious, but the fact that someone touched them, you can see the registered signals in their brain waves, even though they were not awake, but you can see that they were aware that that was happening, and it gave them a sense of security. Yeah. And so I learned that being intimate definitely has to include trust. And the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, all of those things definitely will line up when you have that level of trust. And I think without trust, you cannot have intimacy. And I'm passing the mic.
Boy, this is Arnessa. You ladies are phenomenal. I mean, just listening to all that you're saying, I'm like, oh my God, now these are the kind of ladies I need to hang out with.
Love that.
I'm going back to the original question. I guess it's really not one thing that we can find most important, because listening to what you ladies were saying, it's like a balance of all of these things that are needed when it comes to intimacy. Because in a marriage, depending on if there's an illness, it's not always about the sexual. It's about that safe harbor where either one, the husband or the wife, know that that person is in their corner and has their back. So no matter what happens in the marriage, they know that security is there and that they won't be left, you know, during that hard time. So I would say it takes a balance of the emotional, the intellectual, the spiritual, the recreational, the financial, and the physical. It's not just that one thing. Passing the mic.
I'm almost over here to buy love you ladies, but I do. I absolutely love you. When that question, sitting there writing the question, I said the same thing. You have to have a balance of them all, but on certain days I need more than, I may need, you know, a spiritual intimacy more than I may need physical intimacy. So just getting an alignment, your husband and you being in alignment and, you know, praying and doing all of those things and having that connection and being open with the Father. And I totally agree. What there are things I have prayed, and the Father was able to share with my husband. So it was just, I'm with you guys 100%, and I'm sitting here thinking, I have to have them back. There's no way in the world. I have to have you ladies back. So we'll talk about that. But I want to go to question number 3. Because, you know, I'm on Facebook and I have this community called Love, Sex, and Relationship. And we talk about everything. I mean, everything under the sun you could think about, that's what we talk about. And there's, you know, people talk about their marital issues sometimes. Or not what's going on, you know, not living in their truth and in their space, being their authentic self. And so I want to know, and I'm going to start with Arnessa. We're just going to start there. So I have a question. How were you able to overcome marital issues, you know, because a lot of us on the line have been divorced before,
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, we had a loved one that our spouse passed away. So you come in, you may have came in with some issues that you may not have known you had, and now you're going through your marriage and life happens and issues and things come up. How are you able to deal with that and overcome that with your spouse and within yourself first?
Well, let me kind of, I'll kind of give you a scenario. Okay, my husband had been married to a wonderful woman for almost 40 years. I mean, they had been married for a good while. So I had to understand that, I mean, that was a part of who he was. He got married young. So I had to be able to come into the marriage knowing that this person still exists, even though she is deceased, and her, you know, he's going to reflect on things that may have happened, because it's not like they had gone through a divorce. She passed away.
Yes.
So with some people that I know that maybe they married someone that was a widow, they wanted to erase the past wife. And I had to tell them, you can't do that. You have to allow them to grieve. You have to allow them to reflect. And a lot of marriages, that can become a issue.
Yes.
But I couldn't, with me being the person that I am, I understand that this is a part of life. You know, you can't just, it's just like if a child had died, you can't just erase that child. You are still going to reflect on that child. So we came into the marriage and we talked about that, so that when it would arise and things would happen, I would already know, okay, that's a reflection. He's reflection. But it didn't have anything to do with him not loving me, because I'm his wife now.
Yes.
Passing the mic.
But before whoever jumps in, let me say, you said something about, you know, the person passing, and you can't forget about them. They're still a part of, you know, the person's life. And I think oftentimes we want them to dismiss everything that happened before us.
It's not possible.
It's not, and you equated it to a death. And, you know, and my daughter, she'll be deceased 29 years, and we still talk about her like she lives in the next room, like she's still here. And
exactly.
To say she doesn't exist and on, or never happened, or just forget about it. And I do understand that there's times of reflection, there's times that things have happened, and, you know, some, you know, things that come up that you may have to deal with. But I like the example that you use, far as that is concerned, because what I've seen, and I'm just talking about on my page, people just want people to get over it. But now you're suppressing and everything else, and when it comes up and out, it's ugly, it's nasty, it's rude,
it
or you shut
be.
Down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you got to look at when they had children together, then we have grandchildren, and they still talk about their Mimi. I'm Nana, but that's Mimi. And so it's going to be occasions we do stuff, and they go, oh, yeah, Mimi used to cook whatever, whatever. And I'm like, oh, really? I said, well, it's good, yes. I said, well, we might have to try to make it one day. You know, you have to make them still feel good about those memories.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, is there anyone? Thank you so much for that, sharing that. Is there anyone else would like to pick up the mic and share?
Yes, this is Shaquan again.
Hi.
Hi.
I was getting excited. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You know, I really, really enjoyed the questions that you laid out for this segment. And, you know, all of them really, really do play a part, and they kind of build off of one another. Going back to communication definitely is key,
in solving, you know, marital issues. I believe that learning how your partner communicates and how mm-hmm. they receive information and how they respond to your body language and your and also your, the tone and the pitch of your voice, it definitely does yeah. play a role in solving marital issues. A lot of times I've had to, and I joke about this, a lot of times I had to remind my husband, sometimes it's not the message that you're delivering, it's how you delivered the message,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
And I always bring it back to his military, you know, time where, you know, being a commander, you know, you have to be strong in front of you because you're a leader. And so if they see any ounce of fear in you, then they're not really going to believe that you're capable of doing your job to protect them. And so in a marital issue, if you show that same type of mentality in trying to solve an issue that you must always be the strong authoritarian,
mm-hmm.
things is that it's just going to amplify. It's like you're going to add fuel to the fire. For me, I had to learn that I had to first gauge where he was and what his emotional state was, depending on the actual situation. And then I would know, okay, this is the time now I can talk about this. Or sometimes you have to wait, as my mom would say, wait until the cool of the evening before you approach your mate. Because sometimes, you know, if both of you are kind of up in arms, then no one is going to hear what each other has to say. No one is going to get their point across. So sometimes you have to wait until the cool of the evening, and then you can go in with a level head, and then you won't go in there and say, okay, it's got to be my way or the highway, or I must win this argument, or I must win this debate. And for me, myself, I also had to learn I'd rather have peace than to win.
Yes.
I'd rather have, you know, hear what he has to say, and as the military term, stand down.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because we joke a lot, like he's an alpha male and I'm an alpha female. I'm very independent and everything, but you know, when it comes to my husband, and this is the way I was taught, you know, and in my faith, you know, he's the head. And so, you know, I was a single parent for a very, very long time, and you know, when we would get when we have a difference of opinion, I had to sometimes learn that, okay, I have to take a step back and listen to him and hear his point of view. Even if I didn't agree with it, even if I didn't like what he had to say, and I knew he was right, but I had to learn that, you know, it's okay for me not to agree with everything that he had to say. It's okay for me not to like the way that he had to say it, but for me to listen to the message and what he was saying. But I also did tell him, hey, buddy, I agree what you said 100%, but I did not like your delivery.
Yes.
You know, so being able to communicate those things and, you know, giving him the acknowledgement and letting him know, yes, I heard what you said, and yes, I don't understand your point of view, but I'm trying to understand. Tell me more so I can try to, relate to what you're saying. And also doing that at the same time, not diminishing my own feelings.
Yes.
And my own emotions. So that's how we've gotten to the place in our marriage that when we have a disagreement or a dispute, we're able to talk through it and walk through it. And we can have a debate without, okay, we're not going to sleep for 3 days and 3 nights.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I'm turning over the mic now.
Yes. Well, for the sake of time, I understand, Deidre, and please forgive me, ladies, but we need to jump to the fourth question because we're at that time. So I expect you kind of just, you know, make your question straight to the meat of the matter. So I want to make sure that people still can get information from you, know your website and all of that as well. So we have it already on Facebook and Instagram and on the websites, but we want to share that with them too as well. So I want to ask the last two ladies that I didn't get a chance to ask, Deidre and Leticia, how do you, whichever one would like to go first, how do you keep the fire alive in your relationship?
Deidre, you can go.
So this is Deidre. Okay. So I'll use an example that I just recently did. And so it varies, but I think the biggest thing is listening to my husband. My husband is very simple. He's not a, like, extravagant kind of guy. And so, like, there are little things that he likes. And so for Valentine's Day, I went out and bought a little something from Victoria's Secret. And in addition to, you know, the card and his favorite candy, I, you know, set the bag on his desk and kind of just let him open it at his leisure. And, of course, he almost fell out. And so, but, you know, and it's funny because he was like, ooh, he said, now this is what I'm talking about. And, you know, and it's not that I don't do that often, but sometimes, like for me, I'm a gift giver. And so I was listening to Married People's blog not too long ago, and they were basically saying, you know, they were talking about Valentine's Day and a couple of other things, and they were saying, like, okay, so a lot of this is geared toward women. Like, what do men want? And every man is different, so, you know, I'm sure every man may not want sex on Valentine's Day or whatever the case may be, but for them, like, sex is, like, the perfect gift, like, to just kind of say, you know what, babe, we gonna do this right now, like, you know, just, you know, whatever you do, like, just to plan it. And so for me, the initial answer to the question is keeping the way I keep the fire alive is listening to my husband. And so when he says certain things, I try to, even if it's something that's out of my comfort zone or something that I've never done before or something that I'm like, you really like that? And he's like, yeah, I do it because I want him to know that I think about him. I want him to know that he's important to me, and I want him to know that he's special. And so, like, you know, little things like that for me, I think, are what kind of keep our fire, you know, our fire alive. And then laughing, communicating, having a good time. Like, you know, for us, our son, my parents had my son since Tuesday. He just decided he didn't want to come home. And so we had time. We rented, we watched a movie. We held hands. We, you know, we went out and walked through the mall without a kid. Like, you know, for us, like, it's not just a sexual thing, but just like when we talked about intimacy, literally when we talk about those four questions and how they all come together, we sat and we talked, we cuddled. Like, I think those are the things that for me, you know, that are important to him is really listening to him when he talks and when he says certain things. I try to do that for him. But in addition to that, like, we try to, you know, meet each other's needs. And like the one day he brought me bagel and tea because he brought it to me. Like, normally I'm the first one up, and he works overnight. So he came home. He knew I was still in the bed. He came upstairs, brought me a bagel with my little cream cheese on it, and brought my little hot tea. And so I think, like, those things, when you least expect it and they bring that kind of stuff, it keeps the fire lit. Like, it doesn't even keep it alive. It keeps it lit. It keeps it hot.
Yeah.
And it keeps it going.
Love it.
So pass the mic.
That's great. I like that. I, you know, thinking about different things that my husband and I do to keep the fire alive in our marriage. But I also,
Leticia,
I want to go a little.
Leticia?
Yes.
Leticia, yes. A communication glitch at this moment on your end.
Can you hear me?
You're still a little distorted.
Okay, because I haven't moved from the spot that I was in, so I'm unsure. Can you hear me now?
There it is.
Okay, great. great. So I do want to go a little deeper when it comes to keeping the fire alive. So my first thought is thinking about you know, self-care. And I think that in order to be selfless in your marriage, it requires some selfishness. You know, in order for me to bring my 100% game to my marriage, you know, on whatever level of intimacy it is, and I know we're talking specifically sexual intimacy, I need to have taken care of myself. You know, I need to have been able to exercise a level of, you know, individuality. You know, I needed to do something that promoted wellness, you know, to stimulate creativity and to create a balance. Because when you're talking about keeping that fire alive, you're talking about being there, you know, being 100% present in that moment, you know. And if I am not, you know, healthy, you know, spiritually and psychologically, if I'm wounded, you know, if I'm tired, if I'm overwhelmed, if I'm stressed out, you know, all of those things is going to, you know, dim the light and put that fire out. So I think that we have to talk about, you know, engaging in some of those self-care activities and doing what we need to do for ourselves individually. Whatever that is, everybody, you know, engages in different activities that makes them feel good. For some ladies, it may be as simple as, let me go get this hair did and these nails painted, you know, or let me go get some sexy shoes, or let me go to Victoria's Secret, or let me go to the gym and run off, you know, this stress. You know, whatever it is that we need to do so we can bring our whole selves to the bedroom, so that we can tap into that, you know, libido where we can be orgasmic and we can, you know, be sexually satisfying and satisfied. You can't be tired or stressed or hurt or overwhelmed. So that's the first thing I want to talk about. And then the next thing, I feel like couples need to savor their sacred space. You know, every couple has a sacredness, you know, and like, you know, our sister Deidre just stated, you know, it's, you know, being able to listen to her husband and making sure that she taps into his needs. That could be the sacred space that she creates for her and her man. And everybody has a sacred space. And I feel like ministry, entrepreneurship, business, kids, whatever, should not interfere with that sacred space. And when both partners have agreed upon that sacred space and whatever it is, and if both partners fight to keep that space sacred, then the fire will remain lit and burn. Thank you.
You know, I'm just sitting over here. I'm excited about what I've heard and what I received on today. So I know we're passing the mic. If Shaquan and Arnessa would like to say something really quickly on that topic, if it's burning on the inside of you, like a disco inferno.
Well, I'm going to be real brief. This is Arnessa. I'm going to be real brief because I know we're short for time. But one of the things that my husband and I have implemented in our relationship and our marriage, we have a weekly date night. And sometimes we have two, like we have, with us being leaders in our church, we have people who really see our marriage and they want to glean from us. So occasionally we'll have our date night, but then another night we'll have like a double date with other couples so that they can see the dynamic, you know, up close and personal and not just from afar. Passing the mic.
Yes, this is Shaquan. I'm going to also be brief. I, too, also do date nights with my husband. And if I have a really challenging week from work and my business and we're not able to get out, then one of the other things we like to do is to plan, you know, a week, a stay-in where he'll pick out a movie that he knows that, you know, I'll love because he's really great at that. And, you know, we'll have our little snacks and everything and we'll watch the movie together. And we even like to, you know, have
debates on different topics and world issues. That's something we really, really love to do because he likes to hear my point of view and how I articulate it. And, yeah, he always tells me how impressed he is by me, and I don't really, you know, I'm like, really? Well, I'm just saying my opinion, you know. So, you know, we have our own little things that we do together, even if it's so simple, something simple as just going for a walk and, you know, or getting a pair of shoes or a shirt or something simple. It's just the time that we spend together.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Ladies, I just want to say that I appreciate everything you shared with us, and I know we're pressed for time, but I was like, oh, my God, we got to have a part two. I don't know how you feel, but I would
I agree. I would love it.
Yes.
It's so good.
I was talking to my sister friend. I'm drinking tea. I'm taking notes. I'm listening. You know, my coaches, she left a message. People are like, they love it. They like what they heard. And you guys, you wonderful women. Entrepreneur, beautiful wives, listening audience, if you heard something today that encouraged you and inspired you or just made you think and say, I need to go to a marital retreat or I need a date day or maybe I need to go to Victoria's Secret or I need to sharpen my skills in communication or learn what effective communication is, be mindful of my body language and things of that nature, please contact one of these beautiful ladies. They will teach you these things. They will help you. They will direct you in what to do and what not to do. Because I think sometimes we know what to do, but we don't know what not to do. And I can only speak for myself. I was that crazy person. And I know that's not a good thing to say, but I was. You get addicted to the argument, and you know the argument is over, but you still want to get that one point across. And you didn't make that point like five times. And so you just hammering it. And my husband is, an anger management therapist and a pastor, so he wouldn't hit me with scriptures and do clinical work. And I'm like, don't be analyzing me. Or he'll say something about Jesus. I'd be like, well, you know, the Bible says. So it's like I had to realize, you know, I was hurting myself. More so, you know, I was hurting my eyes up. I'm stressed. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I can't bring my best self to the relationship. And I really believe that we have to have self-care. So thank you for bringing that out. Well, ladies, we're at that time. This is the time I really, really, really hate where I got to kind of let us go. So I'm going to start with Shaquan, then Deidre, then Leticia, then Arnetta. Give us the name of your business again and your website or however you would like for them to contact you because we want them to reach out to you.
Oh, sure. So, my name is Shaquan Hoke, and the name of my business is beyondajob.net. I am a motivational speaker, international best-selling author of The Audacity to Rise, and career coach and image consultant. You can find my services at www.beyondajob.net. You will also find my international best-selling book, The Audacity to Rise, along with my job readiness planner, in addition to some of my coaching packages. And I do also create specific packages for businesses and persons who desire my coaching services. Oh, my social media handles, I'm so sorry. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. My business page is Beyond a Job Inc. With dots in the middle of Inc. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry, job, beyondaj.o.binc. That's my business page on Facebook. And my personal page is under, you can just type in Shaquan Hoke and you'll find me. On Twitter, I'm under author Shaquan H. And on Instagram, I'm under Shaquan Hoke. Again, my website is www.beyondajob.net. And thank you so much for having me.
You're more than welcome. I appreciate you, and I thank you for sharing. Deidre.
Yeah, so first I just want to say thank you so much. This was such an honor, and even though I was a guest, you know, with these other ladies, there was so much that was shared that for me, I definitely think there needs to be a part two, but I can't wait to just listen to the replay to go back, because I think it's one thing when you are participating and it's another thing when you're on the other side and you're listening. And you can really like sit and, you know, and take it in, and you're not like, okay, wait, did I miss my turn yet? Or, you know, so I just want to say I really enjoyed this conversation. I really enjoyed the nuggets that were shared. And I think, you know, you can never be in a space where you are not learning how to, you know, take care of yourself, take care of your marriage, your family, and all that other kind of stuff. And so I just want to say, ladies, I appreciate everything that you shared today. It was really good. And I look forward to, you know, just staying in connection with you guys. But you can find me at True Heart Speaks Enterprises. My website is trueheartspeaks.com. And if you wanted to learn anything about my church, we're at therenovationchurch.com. And we're located in Buffalo, New York. If you're local or close by or you want to travel, I do have an event coming up called the I Speak Life Empowerment Experience for Women. It's March 23rd. It's Friday. And it's from 6 p.m. To 10 p.m. It's a half-day intensive that I'm offering in the early bird right now. It's $77. And so you can find out information about that at I Speak Life Live, ispeaklifelive.com. All of my social media handles on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope are at True Heart Speaks, and so you can find me at True Heart Speaks. And then lastly, I would love for you just to invite you all to join me every Monday morning at 7:15 a.m. for the Morning Life Scope with True Heart Speaks, where I share a Monday motivational message each and every week. And then normally I try to put it on Amazon for those who are not online, but I'm online on Periscope, Instagram, and Facebook, and so you can find me at any of those. I'm also on LinkedIn and a couple of other places, so if you just type in Deidre True Heart or True Heart Speaks, you will find all of my social media handles. So again, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming. And we appreciate you and all the nuggets and tips and tools you have shared with us. And we look forward to connecting with you again, Leticia.
Hello. Yes. So, again, this is Dr. Leticia Webb, and I am grateful for this opportunity. And it has just been wonderful just to be amongst other women who are powerful, who are married, who love God, who stand,
yes,
you know, for their faith and for their marriage. I mean, it just reminds, you know, me that I am not alone, you know, in this. So I thank you so much for this opportunity. And you can find me at Dr. Leticia Webb. That is my website, drleticiawebb.com. All of my social media texts, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Periscope is also Dr. Leticia Webb. And I also have an upcoming event Saturday, March 10th. I am facilitating a vision box party in the city of Philadelphia. And that vision box is very similar to the vision board, but we are using the box, which represents six dimensions: spiritual, psychological, emotional, sexual, physical, and social. So what do you envision on those six dimensions of your life so that you can live holistically? Also coming up in Chesapeake, Virginia, I will be doing a authentic art expression event for singles and couples to express their feelings, you know, on the canvas. So we're going to have deliberate dialogue, artistic articulation, and just being able to be in a space where we can use the medium of art to express ourselves. I, too, do couples counseling and different, you know, events where I host and plan. So please look me up, follow me. Again, that is drleticiawebb.com, and my social media tags are leticiawebb.com. Thank you.
You're welcome. Arnessa?
I look forward to part two, and they can find all my information on arnessa.com. That's ARNESSA.com, and also on Instagram, Arnessa Bennett, and the Southern Heiress.
Love it, love it, love it. Well, I just want to say thank you, ladies, for being on the show. I appreciate you tremendously. I put out the invitation, graciously accepted. I said, God, I thank you. I appreciate you. And, you know, just sharing today, you know, talking about the divorce and the transition of spouses and all of that. I was like, oh, my God, it's so much there, so much. So I just want to say to you, I've been encouraged. I've been inspired, and I received so much from you beautiful ladies today. And I am looking forward to part two this time, you know, next time as well. So I'll make sure I have my pen, paper, and everything handy again to take notes. Because I really did get a lot from you today. So I want to say thank you on behalf of Living Out Loud Radio and the LaRusha King Show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, listening audience, we have had a wonderful time today. We have heard some great things. We kicked off our new segment, Calling Our Lovers. You know, we talked about it's under the marriage and relationship topic. And for those that have been going through, those that have been experiencing some things or just within themselves today, I hope you heard something, that you received something that will help you to move forward in your process. I know I did. I heard Arnessa's story, and I tell you, I was overwhelmed by the love. I heard features, which she has gone through, how she has created this atmosphere for her and her husband. I got something out of that. I got something out of hers, even the six dimensions and the box and the crate. I'm telling you, I heard a lot. And then Shaquan, I heard her story. You know, I come from a military family, so I most definitely understand what you're talking about. And so I just want to say, whoever you identify with on today, reach out to them. Let them know you heard something, or you got something, or received something, or if you just want them to come to your event. You know, be a speaker to him, reach out to him. Well, we will be having part two. We will be. We're going to share some more fabulous tips and tools and instructions, some self-care tips. Wouldn't that be awesome, folks? We're going to share some self-care tips. Because you know what, ladies? One of our speakers said, we're so busy taking care of everyone else that we forget about ourselves. Well, I want to say to you, beautifuls, from my heart to yours, have a wonderful day. Continue to love yourself. Accept yourself. Continue to speak life over yourself. Stand in your space and your place and own it. Walk on the runway of life. Let people know who you are. Share love. Receive love. Spread love. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, oh, we need a love revolution. You know, love revolution. We have a lot of things going on in the world. So until next time, beautiful. We'll see you again on the LaRusha King Show on Living Out Loud Radio. Continue to have the most phenomenal day.